KPX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The casket of former President Jimmy Carter arrived at the U.S. Capitol today.
Ready, step!
Carried into the rotunda where his body will lie in state until his funeral Thursday. Family members, lawmakers, Supreme Court justices, and foreign dignitaries took part in a ceremony honoring the 39th president and his legacy. Carter died December 29th at the age of 100. In Southern California, chaos and evacuations after a brush fire broke out in Pacific Palisades just south of Malibu. Residents, including Megan Garman, racing to evacuate. She says she's never seen anything like it.
Never. And I've lived in Malibu my whole life, and I've seen tons of fires. This is nothing. I'm scared for my life. It's terrifying.
The blaze already has charred 800 acres, fueled by the fierce Santa Ana winds. Gusts of 100 miles an hour are expected, the strongest in more than a decade. For much of the country, bitter cold temperatures are keeping a grip. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. New lawmakers have been sworn in, and the new legislative session has begun at the state capitol. And now a familiar name is representing a portion of Wisconsin. Lisa Hale has the story.
The 107th session of the Wisconsin legislature kicked off Monday with the inauguration of new state lawmakers. Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley swearing in the new members of the state assembly.
On a lighter note, I will note that Benjamin Franklin has joined the Wisconsin assembly. So I would be remiss in not adding a fourth quote, words of wisdom to guide you all in your work. Well done is better than well said.
Benjamin Franklin is a new assembly member from De Pere. The Republican represents the 88th Assembly District, covering De Pere, Alloway, Bellevue, and a small part of Green Bay.
Meanwhile, Wisconsin gets a C for its gun laws. That's according to the Giffords Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence. But the balance of the legislature is changing, and some advocates hope gun laws get more attention. The center compares each state's gun laws with deadly outcomes. And according to Lindsay Nichols from the center, they find the same results every time. The stronger a state's gun laws, the lower the death rate. And the weaker the laws, the more people die.
We know that these gun laws work, and there really is no reason why legislators shouldn't be taking action to prevent these tragedies.
She says Wisconsin could benefit from banning assault rifles and large capacity magazines and could have a longer waiting period and red flag laws. Now, despite public pressure for new gun safety laws in 2020, Wisconsin has not passed any significant gun legislation in years. Democrats have tried unsuccessfully to introduce at least 30 gun safety measures since 2019. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
The Packers lose Christian Watson. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur confirmed that wide receiver Christian Watson could be out a year after suffering a torn ACL and other damage to his right knee during Sunday's game against the Bears. Up next, the Packers face the Eagles next Sunday in the wild card playoffs. Running back Josh Jacobs.
Everything is on the line. You know, it's no real do-overs. It's no flush last week. It's no none of that. It's, you know, execute when the times that they got to make a play or whatever. That's what we're going to look forward to try to do. You know, this whole week.
Men's college basketball, the Badgers with another nice Big Ten conference win, 75-63 at Rutgers. In the NBA, after losing four of their last five, the Bucks beat the Raptors in Toronto, 128-104. Bobby Portis with 20 points. Damian Lillard led with 25.
Being physical, making them work offensively, the communication, helping each other, gang rebounding. Those are all things we can control.
That's the Bucks. Damian Lillard with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 8 above. Another chilly day on Wednesday with partial sunshine, highs only in the upper teens, wind chill values in the single digits, and then a bit milder on Thursday with mostly sunny skies and highs in the upper 20s. Currently, it's 24 degrees.
Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Kelvin.
for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Tim Dennis, host of the Darkness Radio podcast, joins the show. Then we talk about the Milwaukee comedy scene with comedy sports head coach Mike Kauf. Let's light it up Tuesday style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for joining me today. You can be a part of this fine program. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Got Aaron on the board. Jess, P.S., off today. Hopefully, she'll join us tomorrow. But appreciate you, Aaron, for stepping up, stepping in. Folks, it's that time. We now have a president-elect, Donald Trump, and he wasted no time getting in front of the mic and laying down all his wisdom on us. Now, I know, folks. Dom, don't be playing all the Trump and don't be high. Oh, okay, we only got a little flavor, eat your broccoli. Get used to it, you know, get back in game form, because there's going to be a lot of this coming up, and most of it's going to be crazy. It's a lot of crazy. And we should be kind of used to it when we had him 4 years, and then we went away for a while, and it was kind of crazy in the background, and, you know, the court cases and all the late night rage, truthy socially and whatnot. But somehow, some way, convinced all those megas to come out and do it all over again because it was so good last time. So he's out there, I guess, putting his priorities forward. His first press conference. Since they determined that he actually got the appropriate number of electoral votes to become the president, we heard the current vice president read those numbers off yesterday. So we have a few topics here. We got J6, some Hezbollah, Panama and Greenland. We got how we're going to, you know, push forward the legislative priorities of the MAGA. Will it be one big, beautiful bill? Or will they be in two bills or multiple bills? And now we're going to be renaming the Gulf of Mexico, because obviously it says Mexico and you can't have that. So let's start at the top from the Trump press conference today. Folks, it was, I would say he's not getting any better. Let's play cut one, please.
Two questions related to each other. First, you said on your first day of office, you're going to pardon January 6th defendants. Are you planning to pardon those who were charged with violent offenses?
Well, we're looking at it, and we have other people in there. And as you see, I guess 24 or 28 people came now from the FBI. That came out very quietly. Nobody reported it, but they had people in some form related to the FBI. They had four or five people that were strongly related to the FBI. We have to find out about that. We have to find out about Hezbollah. We have to find out about who exactly was in that whole thing, because people that did some bad things were not prosecuted. You know, I see it all the time, and you see it too. People that were doing some bad things weren't prosecuted, and people that didn't even walk into the building are in jail right now.
Wow. I don't know.
That wasn't even the whole rant either.
Well, thank you for cutting it. I mean, I don't know what Hezbollah's got to do with that. So what, Trump is essentially making this an entrapment case? After Trump tweeted out, come down there, we'll be wild. After Trump riled them up at the rally, said, you got to fight like hell. I'm going to walk with you. You got to fight like hell. You're not going to have a country anymore. After all that, it was entrapment by the FBI. And his answer was not no. He did not say no. I will not pardon or commute those who have committed violent offenses. That's my takeaway from that particular cut. He didn't say no. He didn't, because they were beating ass for Trump. And if you're beating ass for Trump, Trump wants you on his team. What else we got? Oh, I mean, so Donald Trump, the Panama and Greenland thing. So he's still stuck on the Greenland, apparently very, very important for national security. And in Panama, I mean, I think he might be still mad that they took down his sign at the Trump Hotel in Panama. I'm a little mad I left my earbuds in the airport there, but whatever. We all got our things with Panama. I thought Panama was a great country. Trump not so happy about it. Maybe they're looking into his fraudulent taxes? Question mark. Not sure. Let's hear what Trump had to say about Panama and Greenland. Foreign policy, very important to lower the cost of eggs. Cut two.
But can you assure the world that as you try to get control of these areas, you are not going to use military or economic coercion?
No.
And can you tell us a little bit about what your plan is? Are you going to negotiate a new treaty? Are you going to ask the Canadians to hold a vote? What is the strategy?
Yeah, I can't assure you. You're talking about Panama and Greenland. No, I can't assure you on either of those two. But I can say this. We need them for economic security. The Panama Canal was built for our military. I'm not going to commit to that now. It might be that you'll have to do something. Look, the Panama Canal is vital to our country. It's being operated by China. China. And we gave the Panama Canal to Panama. We didn't give it to China.
No, he did claim in the past there are Chinese troops at the Panama Canal. No, that's not the case. Not the case at all. So what, we're going to bomb Panama Canal if they don't give us back Panama Canal? What, Aaron, what's he thinking?
I have no idea, but he did. He did also claim that there are Chinese boats off the coast of Greenland.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, there's international waters, man. There's boats everywhere. But again, you know, I don't recall this foreign policy specifically, you know, in the months leading up to the election. Man, what was it? It was inflation. It was the border, right? The cost of eggs. Damn eggs. Now he's going off on these kinds of tangents. And so the question is, and let's think about Greenland for just a moment, right? Property of Denmark, I guess, right? Kingdom of Denmark, a NATO ally. So if we go and start sending troops into Greenland, a NATO ally, doesn't the NATO, they have an agreement that any attack on a NATO country is an attack on all of NATO, and then all of NATO is obligated to respond? I mean, I know Trump's not a big fan because of his Russian influences. Yeah, go ahead. Conservatives, I know what you're thinking, but you know it's true. Come on, man. This guy loves himself some strongmen. So he couldn't, you can't just, you know, unilaterally pull us out of NATO. I mean, we do have treaties and obligations. I mean, these are things that Donald Trump knows nothing about. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is a guy who was married three times. You know what I mean? Declared bankruptcy a few times. Didn't, he went through life, you know, not paying some folks sometimes. So, you know, the thought of obligation to a guy like Donald Trump, of commitment, of following through, those things, you know, don't really quite register with the narcissist megalomaniac that he is. So if you look at this, there's this posturing. Well, posturing for what? You're going to have a NATO versus NATO? Man, you know, Russia would love that. These kinds of activities, this kind of posturing, right? Whatever you want to call it, boy, our adversaries love it. They just absolutely love it. And if you're sitting there and you're a mega and all of a sudden on your head is, oh, my God, we got to have Greenland for our national security. Well, where was that thought last year? 4 years ago, 10 years ago, if you're concerned about our national security with regards to Greenland and Denmark, couldn't we, you know, have diplomatic relations enhanced, further agreements? You know, go out and tell people you're going to buy them. Well, what if they don't want to be bought? Then you're going to forcibly buy them? Donald Trump, that's your bright idea? And how does that lower the cost of eggs? But we do need Greenland for security purposes. Nobody knows if Denmark has any legal right. Nobody knows. I mean, all these things in the world that nobody knows, you know, when he says these things, of course, that means Trump doesn't know. and Trump thinks he's everything. So if he doesn't know, nobody knows. And see how that works? See how that works, folks? Let's hear what he had to say. Cut three, please, Aaron.
Well, we need Greenland for national security purposes. I've been told that for a long time, long before I even ran. I mean, people have been talking about it for a long time.
People
you have approximately 45,000 people there. People really don't even know if Denmark has any legal right to it. But if they do, they should give it up because we need it for national security. That's for the free world.
You know, I think Brazil wants Texas. Did I hear that? Do you hear? Yeah, Brazil. We're just going to throw it out against the wall, see what happens. I mean, who wants Texas? Does anybody want Texas? Hell, Texas, half of Texas doesn't even want to be part of this country, if I'm reading the tea leaves right down in Texas. What are you talking about? Nobody knows. It means I don't know. Let's move on. Let's jump down to cut number five, kind of in this whole vein of thing. Next bright idea from Donald Trump to lower the cost of eggs. Cut number five.
We're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, which has a beautiful ring that covers a lot of territory. The Gulf of America. What a beautiful name.
I mean, what, dude? I don't know. I'm sure somebody knows. I'm not going to say nobody knows how the Gulf of Mexico got its name, but it's always been that since I was born. And you know what? I never questioned it. Never cared enough. Now, I had a couple of thoughts on renaming the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. Does he know it's spelled G-U-L-F? And not
I think
G-O-L-F?
If you tell him he's
going to...
L-F? Yeah, I think if you tell Gulf? Him it's not G-O-L-F, he's probably going to stop saying this.
You're right, dude. You totally got it wrong. And really, let's just cut to the chase. Let's call it the Gulf of Trump. Right? Doesn't he put his name on everything? It's the Gulf of Trump. All right. I promise the last two short little cuts from Donald Trump today. I think these are pretty much the lowlights. I think you get the gist. Let's play cut number four, please.
If two is more certain, it does go a little bit quicker because you can do the immigration stuff early. The question is whether or not we do the two bills or one bill. And, you know, look, I can live either way. I like the idea of the one big bill, but I can live either way.
Ooh, he likes the idea of the one big bill, but the other day he only wanted the one big bill. He really wanted. And so what? He's getting some pushback from, well, Republicans in the Senate, perhaps? Because, listen, every time you stack more things into one bill, you're peeling people off. You might get some Dems who are down for some additional border security enhancements, but certainly don't want to extend the Trump tax cuts. So you throw all those things into one bill. Well, I'm now they have to choose which one do I prioritize over the other. Am I more concerned about, you know, giveaways to the rich that are going to increase our national debt in a time we should be taxing them more? Or am I more concerned about, you know, the what's going on at the border? Well, you stack everything into one bill, and next thing you go, you got different people with different political situations and ideologies and philosophies. They're going to have to balance and bounce those things around instead of putting, you know, one bill, one topic. I get it. Given the circumstances in the House and the very, very historically narrow margin that the Republican mega House has, you know, I'm not sure that the Republicans are convinced that they can pass more than one bill. So watch this space. We'll see how that plays out. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. You can join us 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Some updates on the Trump legal battles. Some good, some bad. Stick around. You'll find out which is which.
The windmills are driving the whales crazy, obviously. We're also at a golden...
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Clothes that fit your style and your life. At Equability, they adapt your jackets, pants, and more for dexterity or mobility challenges. Feel confident, comfortable, and ready for anything. Visit equability.co to make your clothes easier to wear today.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The 2024 election was certified January 6th by Congress with no objections, accusations of fraud, or violent mobs. Why was it, well, blissfully boring? Vice President Kamala Harris handed each state's Electoral College letters of certification to tellers, who then read them out loud. When complete, the total was announced and Trump was declared the winner. The whole process took less than 30 minutes. What changed? The Electoral Count Reform Act was implemented, making it harder for Congress to derail certification. Election rules were tightened in many states, but in battleground Michigan, where voter access was dramatically expanded, Trump won. After losing in 2020, he claimed widespread voter fraud in Detroit. Hand-counting activists have also been curiously silent. Were the voting machines different this time? Electronic ballot tabulators, the target of conspiracy theories and multi-million-dollar lawsuits, are still on the job and recognized as far more accurate and less costly than hand-counting. What about the legions of undocumented immigrants Trump claimed last October would vote illegally? There was no widespread evidence of non-citizen voting in this or any other U.S. election. Other than no criminal conspiracy to overthrow the results, not much did change. Our 2024 election was secured by many of the same heroic election officials doing the blissfully boring work of democracy. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Listen to the John and Gordy Show weekdays right here on WMDX, sponsored by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. Find them on Madison's East and West Side or online at Verlo.com.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line. It's a text line. Some of you folks are jumping in here. Let's get to some of you texters before we move on to the updates on the Trump cases. Mark from the SAC, he follows up from what I see from reputable fact-checked organizations. Information from the J6 committee was not destroyed. What I did see was that Rep. Bernie Thompson explained the select committee did not archive temporary committee records that were not elevated by the committee's actions, such as the for use in hearings, official publications, or those that did not further its investigative activities. Mark from Sussex and CJ are just repeating Trumpster falsehoods. And that's a good point. I've seen similar reporting on that as well. I mean, not every piece of paper on everything is kept all the time. And there are limitations to that. Hell, even here in the state of Wisconsin, when former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gabelman, the hack who was hired by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republicans, to, you know, give some cover for the lies about election interference and so forth. Well, he destroyed all sorts of records, like literally almost everything. Didn't even have a policy on anything. He got sued. The state of Wisconsin got sued because, of course, he was acting on our behalf and lost, you know, so we had to pony up some money for that. So if there were to be a case where J6 were to have done something like that, perhaps there would be some lawsuits for that. My understanding as well. Listen, what you're going to tell me that there's what the J6 committee destroyed exculpatory evidence on Donald Trump? Yeah, I'd love to see it. You know what I mean? If there's something that would exonerate Donald Trump, I want to see it. But unfortunately, we don't have that case because all you Trumpsters voted him in, and now we're not going to know. And maybe won't even know when do we get the report from Jack Smith. We'll talk about that next. Another one here from the 262. I hate Trump, but my brother lives in Panama, and he says that China is controlling the ports because they lease the ports to Panama, and when Panama defaults on the lease, they own it. Interesting concept. Not clear how that would play out, but if China is providing investment into building out ports, well, one would wonder perhaps why. Where's America's leadership in that regard, if that's to be the case? And number two, just because you default on the lease, if that were to be the case, and if I'm taking this at your word, there's still processes to rectify those situations. I don't think under any circumstances there's going to be, you know, Chinese tanks and military manning those ports. It ain't going to happen. It's not happened. It hasn't happened. It's not going to happen. Hey, if Trump's concerned about saying it's going to happen, then I could say it ain't going to happen. And then we'll see who's right, because, you know, a lot of things Trump says usually don't end up being quite as they are. To Mark's point, I think there is one of the successes and driving reasons that Donald Trump is able to, you know, kind of, I think, pull the wool is there's a little, you know, really good liars have a little bit of truth in the things that they say. You know, and just enough to get you over the hump. And when you do that, when it's an outright blatant lie, you know, those are easy. But when you have a kernel of truth, hey, here's some statistics. Hey, there's some FBI folks that have now been reported that were in the crowd. When he's talking about, you know, 26 or four. And we covered this when that report came out. They claim that they didn't have any, the FBI claims they had no specific FBI assets themselves, FBI employees, but they did have some perhaps quote unquote assets of varying levels in the crowd. And I would fully expect when you have a crowd like that, number one, let's just throw that out there. If you have a crowd like that coming to DC full of Proud Boys and Oath Keepers and Three Percenters and militias and all those kinds of things. And we know from what the FBI has given reports to Congress themselves that one of the biggest concerns we have in this country is you know, militia, right-wing, violent type stuff. Think New Orleans, like that kind of stuff, but on a grander scale with multiple people and greater conspiracy, right? Those things. Now, you have... If the FBI is concerned about that kind of activity from those kinds of groups and that kind of activity and those kinds of groups, and they're bringing that activity to DC, man, you know, I would hope someone's got some ears on it, some eyes on it. You know what I mean? Otherwise, what are we doing? And even with that seemingly logical common sense, oh my God, look at all these people. What's going on? You know, the cavalry did not come because these were Trump's people, man. He couldn't start just firing into the crowd of Trumpsters. That wouldn't go right. That'd be bad. Those are his people. Go home, you're beautiful. We love you. 3 hours later. So, point being, there is a kernel, just a snippet. When Trump says these things, he takes a piece of this article, a piece of that, and he bounces around in his old melon, and he spits out the lies that are going to benefit him or whatever his point is, or whatever his activity is, whatever he's trying to accomplish in that very moment, not tomorrow, not a week from now, in that very moment. Because a guy like Donald Trump, he will change. Oh, I want one big beautiful bill. You got to do it. Oh, well, I guess I'd be okay with two bills. Oh, okay. So were you lying then, or you're lying now? I mean, or did you get pulled in by the Senate or by some folks to say, you know what, that's not going to work. You're not going to get that, Donald Trump. Here's the reality. So, you know, maybe there's some of that. But the most effective lies are the ones that have just a little bit of truth to them, just a little bit to keep you interested, to keep you gnawing, to keep you around, to keep you repeating over and over and over again. Oh, J6, they destroyed everything. Huh? No, that's not the case. 855-752-4842. All right, I know I kind of talked a little bit long in this, but here's the downside. Good news or bad news? Well, here's the bad news from the Associated Press. Judge temporarily blocks release of special counsel report on Trump cases as court fight simmers. Oh, man, why can't we get anything? I wanted this for Christmas. So I will get into what the specifics of this are. And this is interesting. I mean, there are other defendants involved. This is not just solely about Donald Trump. So maybe I can give a little, you know, hat tip to that specific issue. But we're not going to have a trial, at least anytime soon, about anything that matters with regards to Donald Trump and what he did and what he was engaged in and who was with him and what happened with J6. And I'm more concerned about the J6 than I am about the documents case in Florida. Folks, we're going to come back with that topic and your calls as well, 855-752-4842. Oh, the Judge Cannon, you know, Trump appointed her. Come back with us.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Staff at Group Health Cooperative are working on unionizing. They've filed paperwork with the National Labor Relations Board to have a union election. Lawyers for the potential union say right now 229 employees would be eligible to vote, but GHC is pushing to get that number up to 475. The union would represent staff at seven GHC clinics. And Wisconsin, unlike 20 other states in the union, has no way for voters to propose new laws or referenda on the ballot. We've seen these laws come into play across the country, most often when voters have been approving abortion rights after the fall of Roe v. Wade. Well, Governor Tony Evers wants Wisconsinites to have those same opportunities. Lisa Hale has more.
Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers wants to give residents more say in creating laws. Evers announced his intention to include a mandate in the new state budget that would require state legislators to consider a constitutional amendment allowing voters to petition for ballot proposals. Residents would be able to petition to repeal existing state statutes or create new ones and would be able to place binding referenda on the ballot.
It's no secret that since I took office, Republican legislators have repeatedly ignored the will of the people of Wisconsin, a majority of whom support proposals like restoring Roe and access to safe legal abortion, legalizing and taxing marijuana like we do alcohol, funding our public schools, and implementing common sense gun safety reform.
Governor Evers proposed a similar plan back in 2022 after the overturning of Roe v. Wade temporarily triggered an abortion ban in the state.
Now, Republicans already killed this proposal once, and they have the power to do it again. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu says any non-budgetary proposals included in the budget would be removed. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There was a lion's roar atop the box office this past weekend. Mufasa took first place on the big screen with a haul of just under $24 million. The Lion King prequel edged out Sonic the Hedgehog 3 on the last weekend of 2024. Sonic, which was tops last weekend over Mufasa, brought in just over $21 million for a second place, but out-earned Mufasa over the traditional three-day weekend. Both films are entering their fourth week of release and showing decent legs. Coming in third place this past weekend was Focus Features' Nosferatu, a surprise hit that has pulled in about $70 million since its release on Christmas Day. The film is now at $100 million globally. Rounding out the top five were Moana 2 in fourth place with $12 million and about to pass $1 billion globally. And in fifth place was Wicked with just over $10 million. The Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, landed in sixth place for the second week in a row with just over $8 million big ones. Great assortment of flicks in the theaters right now to help you combat the cold. Check them out. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 8 above. Another chilly day on Wednesday with partial sunshine, highs only in the upper teens, wind chill values in the single digits, and then a bit milder on Thursday with mostly sunny skies and highs in the upper 20s. Current temperature is 23 degrees.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life.
SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as our friends Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project return to the show after a vacation break. We'll catch up with them. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy days to us all. Thank you for hanging out with me. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. It's a text line. It's a phone line. And you can be a part. Good news, bad news on the Trump legal fronts today. We'll start out with the bad news. As reported, as mentioned at the Associated Press, Eileen Cannon, remember her? Oh, yeah. She temporarily blocked the public release of Special Counsel Jack Smith's report on investigations into Trump as an appeal court weighs a challenge to the disclosure of a much-anticipated document just days before the president-elect reclaims office. Now, the ruling from Cannon may represent a short-lived victory for Trump. Let's hope so. But it's nonetheless the latest instance of the Trump-appointed jurist taking action in the Republicans' favor. What? Say it ain't so. The halt followed an emergency request Monday by defense lawyers to block the release of a report that they said would be one-sided and prejudicial. Trump's team was expected to respond later today, and I believe they have. We'll get to that as well. Now, Trump responded to Cannon's order. You know, that's his appointee. By complaining anew at a news conference about Smith's investigation, saying, quote, it'll be a fake report just like it was a fake investigation. Now, the AP continues. It was unclear what the Justice Department, which has its own guidelines governing special counsels and the reports that they are expected to produce when they conclude their own, intended to do following Cannon's orders. Now, the two-volume report is expected to describe charging decisions made in separate investigations by Jack Smith into Trump's hoarding of classified documents at Mar-a-Lago and Palm Beach and his efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election. So those are the two topics, let's call it, the two-volume report. Now, Cannon's order did not make a distinction between the two volumes, instead barring the release of any information from any report until 3 days after the matter is resolved by the Atlanta-based 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, unless the court's orders otherwise. Now, Smith pledged earlier in the day that at least the volume on the documents investigation. Let me repeat that. Trump pledged earlier in the day that at least the volume on the documents investigation would not be made public by Justice Department before 10 a.m. Friday at the earliest, though the decision on what to make public ultimately rests with Attorney General Merrick Garland. Oh, God. Come on, Merrick. Now, we know Trump was charged along with two co-defendants in the classified documents case, which was dismissed by Cannon. You know why that case was dismissed? Well, she concluded that Smith's appointment was illegal. No, wait, special counsel? We don't do those here. That's illegal. Well, of course, we have used special counsels in this country, and we have continued to do so, dating back to, what, 1875 and then into the 40s and 50s and teapot scandal and so forth. Yes, we have used special counsels in the past. This is not this was an outline ruling on her part that is under appeal right now. And if this is done properly and judiciously, I'd expect she would lose that. But again, there's two other co-defendants in this case. Now, Smith's teams abandoned both of the cases in November after Trump won, citing Justice Department policy that prohibits federal prosecutions of sitting president. Now, lawyers for Trump, including Todd Blanche, who was picked by Trump to serve as deputy attorney general, urged Garland in a letter made public on Monday to block the release of the report and to remove Smith from his position promptly or defer the release of the report to the incoming attorney general. Yeah, how's that going to go? Hey, Pam Bondi, should we release the report, the charging decisions, why we decided to move forward? Or should we keep that hidden from the people? I think I want to know. Don't you want to know? I mean, don't you want to know? If your folks are out there, if you megas out there, if you think this is all just a bunch of hogwash, you think this is all just a witch hunting, political persecution, a lawfare, call it what you want. You think that Donald Trump is somehow just being targeted because he's Donald Trump? Well, certainly the reports would be footnoted and have the evidence along with it, right? That would tell you whether or not he did that. Could you believe it? Because there are other reports. We'll get to that next. Anyway, Blanche said, using language that mimicked Trump's own attacks on Smith and his work, Blanche told Garland that the, quote, release of any confidential report prepared by this out-of-control private citizen unconstitutionally posing as a prosecutor would be nothing more than a lawless political stunt designed to politically harm President Trump and justify the huge sums of taxpayer money Smith unconstitutionally spent on his failed and dismissed cases. I mean, you know, these guys are just such gaslighters. I mean, the only reason these things are dismissed is because the guy won, which is bunk number one. Number two, he's not an out-of-control private citizen unconstitutionally posing as a prosecutor. I know that's what Eileen Cannon said, but the history would show that that is, in fact, not the case. But I get it. But I guess the question is, how many times can Trump's attorneys say the word unconstitutionally in one sentence? 855-752-4842. Be patient. We'll get to you momentarily. Now, that letter from Blanche to Garland was included in an emergency request filed late Monday with Cannon by lawyers for Trump's co-defendants in the documents case. Trump valet Walt Nauta and Mar-a-Lago property manager Carlos de Oliveira, they asked Cannon to block the report's release, noting that Smith's appeal of her decision or her dismissal of charges against the men is pending and that the disclosure of pejorative information about them would be prejudicial. Now, you know, that's something to be said because these guys are still on the hook, right? So I'll pause there. Now, in response to that request, Smith's team said that said in a two-page filing early on Tuesday, that's today, that it intended to submit its report to AG Garland by Tuesday afternoon and that the volume pertaining to the classified documents investigation would not be made public before 10 o'clock on Friday. It is presumed that both volumes of Smith's report would be released simultaneously. Justice Department regulation calls for special counsels appointed by the Attorney General to submit a confidential report at the conclusion of their investigations. Now, Garland has made public in their entirety. Let me repeat this concluding paragraph for MAGA. Garland has made public in their entirety the reports produced by special counsels who operated under his watch, including Robert Hur's report on President Joe Biden's handling of classified information and John Durham's report on the FBI Russian election interference investigation. And how many times have our conservative friends thrown into our face, oh, John Durham, John Durham, John Durham. Well, how would you know anything about that report if it was not released? Well, it was released. Should this be released? I mean, I think so. And I do. And I get it. Listen, the other defendants, I mean, they have a right. They have a right too. You don't want, you know, people to be prejudiced against them. I understand that. I'm not clear, you know, not the attorney, perhaps, when I get James Santel in. He's going to do a different day. He's coming in on Thursday. So this will be a topic for our former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. He plays out 9 to 11 on Saturdays. I'll drill down on this with him because I am concerned about other people that are also caught up in these crimes, right? It's one thing for the president, now the president-elect and soon-to-be president, you know, to get a pass on it. Well, these guys are still in it. You know, as far as I am aware, these cases could still continue. I would assume that the special counsel ruling would be overturned, but again, they're still going to appeal that as well. I want to see the information come out. I don't want it, you know, redacted to the nth degree. Don't we want to know? Don't you want to know, MAGA Republicans? Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't. I mean, maybe you don't. Reality sucks sometimes.
I also feel like that was one of the biggest points of the cases that Jack Smith has been working on in general is just truth, letting the American people know before the election. Well, it's too late for that, but it's better late than never.
I mean, yes, I would always take more information. I mean, but, you know, timing does matter. And we do, as you know, we put a lot of blame on Garland in this situation. But, you know, as an American citizen who had to witness January 6th, and I, you know, it, as far as the documents case and the hoarding of the secret documents, I mean, you know, we know what we know. I mean, we saw the pictures of everything and, you know, piled up in his bathroom, but whatever, boxes are boxes. It's not what the boxes, what's in the boxes. What is the value? What was done? How was that parlayed or leveraged? Do we know? Were people put at risk? Will our adversaries fear us, and will our allies trust us? You know, these are the things that we as a nation have to consider when we're thinking about a guy like Donald Trump. And it's not, as I mentioned before, this the lies that turns, you know, that helps spin the conversation to his his way, you know, the little bit of truth with a bunch of lies and mix it all up and it's and spit it out. And it'll be easier for some folks to digest and maybe accept. We know that part of it. But we need, don't you want to know? I want to know. 855-752-4842. I would have rather have had this evidence presented to a jury. You know what I'm saying? Because now even when it comes out, you know what the reaction is going to be. Oh, this is all way. That's just how it goes. That's how it's going to be. Everything's a persecution. Everything's all just poor woe is me. You know, for a guy who claims to be or projects to be a strong man, he is very weak. And when a guy cracks like that, when someone can get under your skin that easily, he's not strong. You know what I'm saying? If someone can get to you that quick, You're not, you don't have a strong constitution, let's say. 855-752-4842. But I would reiterate, they released Robert Herr's report on Biden's handling of the classified documents and Durham's report on the Russian election interference investigation. So certainly, if you were MAGAs and you thought that was appropriate and the people have a right to know in those circumstances, certainly you would agree that Jack Smith should release his information, at least as it pertains to Donald Trump. And we got to do a workaround with the other cats that are also dialed up in this one. 855-752-4842. L.A. Tom, you are up. Happy days, Tom. What do you got for us?
Well, hey, Tom. I hope that somehow Jack Smith can just leak it so we don't have to have all this redacted stuff. And we can actually see
leak and unredacted. You know what? If you're doing it, you know, if you're sneaking around the FBI or the Justice Department in the back rooms with filing cabinets, why don't you pull out the unredacted Mueller report while you're at it as well? You know, there's a lot of things I want to see. And don't get me going on Area 51.
Yeah, I understand. Absolutely. Now, this is just craziness. The whole thing is you know, he probably doesn't even know that Greenland's not green and that Iceland's not that ice
green.
It.
It's a beautiful green. We're going to have the best golf course there. It's beautiful.
It's all ice.
It's all ice. Oh, my God. Hey, Tom, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you listening out in California. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. You can be a part, 855-752-4842. All right, so that's the bad news, right? That's the bad news. But as the AP points out, this could be short-lived. You know, we're going to have to hang around and see how this all plays out. But I tell you what, while I remain always, generally optimistic, you got to think, you know, something's going to break at some point. And then I wonder, like, what kind of information is in this report that we won't know? Then I also wonder, even if it comes out, what will be redacted that we won't know? You know, this whole, and then we end up getting just enough to barely wet our whistle. You know what I'm saying? And so I will be unsatisfied, probably. That's how these things roll. I don't remember a report that's come out against Donald Trump or have an investigation into Trump where I was like, oh, this is great. I mean, I've seen the Mueller report, read most of it, actually. Got it saved on the computer. You can do word searches on the PDF. It's pretty amazing. But there's a lot of redactedness in there. And what came of it? Well, nothing, man. You know, Barr, they squashed it. And the fact that they didn't go after Donald Trump on the 8 or 10 counts of obstruction of justice because he was a sitting president. Literally, that's why they said they did not go after him, because they couldn't. He's a sitting president. That's the policy of the Justice Department. Well, okay. So then Donald Trump's like, see, nothing to see here. Well, that's the whole thing. The guy obstructed justice into the investigation. You know, the cover-up and the crime. You see what I'm saying? But there was a lot of redactions on there, and I was left wholly not wholly unsaid. I was unsatisfied with that. Too much redactions. In this case, I kind of expect, man. You know, I have high hopes, and then Garland just crushes them. And so, and this justice being doled out at different levels for people like Donald Trump, and then for, you know, the folks that he convinced to go down to the Capitol and attack the police officers and try to stop the count and overthrow the government. You know, those folks, we talked about the 11 of them that were here in the state of Wisconsin that got charged and convicted and so forth. You know, they went through it. Donald Trump, all these years later, still gets a pass. Man, when are rich white people going to catch a break in this world? Come back with us one final segment. We'll get to the good news on the Donald Trump front. 855-752-4842.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road. Plus, igniteglassandgifts.com.
I'm hungry. What's cooking?
Oh, no, not me. It's your turn.
Oh, we're back to taking turns?
Yes.
Well, how about Sugar River Pizza?
Oh, yeah, now they can cook.
I could really go for some of that 12-hour smoked pulled pork.
Ooh, and some pasta. Mm. Okay, now I'm hungry. Sugar River, here we come.
And they have that great kids menu, too.
We don't have any kids.
Right. That's beside the point. The point is, I'm hungry.
You're hungry. Let's go.
Yes. And we should talk about having some kids.
Get in the car, Bob. Sugar River, Sun Prairie, Verona, New Glarus, and catering.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The beginning of the year means a new session for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Members of the State Senate and State Assembly were sworn into office on Monday, January 6th. There are a lot of new faces in that group, with 6 new members in the State Senate and 31 new representatives in the State Assembly. While Republicans will remain in the majority, that majority is now the smallest it has been in more than a decade. The days of the GOP's supermajority are over. After last year's elections under new, fairer maps, we'll see if those smaller majorities lead to more compromise in a legislature that's been dominated by the right for nearly 15 years. Just a handful of seats make the difference now between a Republican and Democratic majority, and there are many more opportunities now to bring accountability to legislators, especially those in competitive districts. And in a healthy democracy, that's the way things should be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
All the dust is painted gray, money talking. Power won't be set to go off, hear them talking. Soon you'll please them.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. Talking about the bad news, Trump's toady Eileen Cannon, well, she's putting a kibosh on Jack Smith's voluminous release of his investigations into the hoarding, the document, secret document hoarding cases in Mar-a-Lago, and of course, Trump's role, you know, if any, in the January 6th insurrection. They don't want to see that, and I guess I understand why. Probably doesn't bode well for the president. But the other side of it, the good news is, that one's not done yet, but that's just the order of the day. Here's today on NBC, a New York appellate judge allows Trump's Friday hush money sentencing to go forward. What? Usually we have James Santel, former U.S. attorney, on Friday, scheduling conflicts this week. He's going to join me on Thursday, and Earl Ingram's going to join me on Friday. So I'm curious to see if this actually comes to fruition. A little bit from the reporting at NBC, Justice Ellen Gesmer rejected the emergency stay request following brief arguments between Trump's attorney, Todd Blanche. Man, that guy's busy. And a lawyer from the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. Blanche, she cried all the time. You know how he says, oh, nothing we see here. Should have to go through the legal process. She's got absolute immunity, yada, yada, yada. I'm paraphrasing. Now, Stephen Wu of the Manhattan DA's office urged the judge to reject the request. Here's what Stephen Wu said. This is a claim that the president-elect is entitled to immunity, and there is no support for that, adding that the claim is so baseless that there is no basis for any kind of stay here. There is only one president at a time. We've heard that before as well. Let's see what else we got here. In a brief ruling, the judge wrote this one sentence. After consideration of the papers submitted and the extensive oral argument, Movis' application for an interim stay is denied. denied, baby. Now, Blanche, who Trump said he would nominate to be his deputy attorney general, a lot of reporting on that today as well, did not comment after leaving court. Now, we know Mershon initially postponed Trump's scheduled sentencing of July last year in the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling, set a new standard for presidential immunity. Yeah, thank you, U.S. Supreme Court. Man. Now, Mershon found in the ruling last month that Trump does not have immunity until he's sworn in as president. A separate order last week, the judge directed Trump's sentencing on 34 felony counts of falsifying business records to take place Friday morning and said he plans on giving him unconditional discharge. Remember that? Yeah, you're guilty as hell on those 34 felonies now. Go home and have a Fresca. I mean, what's the punishment? Unconditional discharge. That means the conviction would stand, but he would not be subject to any punishment. You know, I got a lot of trouble when I was a kid. I can't imagine why. And, you know, just, you know, usually innocent, mischievous kinds of things. But usually if I was got in trouble and got convicted, there was some sort of punishment because, you know, it doesn't really matter if, isn't that the whole thing? If there's no consequence, then why would someone stop doing the act? Mershon rejected Trump's request for a stay on Monday. That was yesterday. A little more here from NBC. Pardon me. Prosecutors from Manhattan DA's Alvin Bragg's office said in a court filing Monday that there's no reason to delay the sentencing any longer. Quote, the DA's office also contended that there is now is the least burdensome time for Trump to be sentenced. Now? Now? As president-elect, Trump has no viable claim of presidential immunity from ordinary criminal process and is not yet engaged in any official presidential functions that would be disrupted by the sentencing. Yeah, I mean, okay, so maybe Friday, we'll see. Maybe Friday he'll be sentenced to nothing. And, you know, and Donald Trump's still going to fight like hell the whole time because he does not want to be. Regardless of punishment, regardless of consequence, does not want to be a convicted felon. The F word, the different F word for Donald Trump, that would make him very mad because he's got such a vision of himself. Hell, man, he's twice elected president of the United States. He's Donald Trump, man. He can do no wrong. He's got millions and millions of followers that seemingly will do anything that he asks. How could Donald Trump ever do anything wrong except for the fact that, you know, 34 felony counts of falsifying business records that other people in New York have been and continue to be and will be in the future charged with, presumably, if the evidence is there, convicted of and given a sentence, probably other than unconditional discharge, which is kind of like what I have coming up the back of my throat every time I think about Donald Trump getting away with it, because that's really what it comes down to. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. I appreciate every single one of you hanging out with me today on this fine Tuesday. Now, stick around later on in this. We have Pete Schwab coming up at the Nightlight with Pete Schwab is coming up next. A little rundown for what's going on tomorrow. Matt Rothschild is going to join me in studio once again. Always fun to catch up with Matt. And as mentioned, a little schedule change for the end of the week. On Thursday, we're going to have James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus, a law review. He plays out on Saturdays on the Civic Media Radio Network, 9 to 11 a.m. And in doing so, Earl Ingram going to join me on Fridays. Man, love to hang out with Earl. Going to catch up with him. I'm going to get his take on what goes down. What happens on Friday? Will Donald Trump face judgment? Will he be sentenced, even if it's to nothing? We're going to get Earl's take on that as well. Folks, we appreciate you. Now stick around. As mentioned, Pete Schwab, Nightlight, coming up next. Have a great evening. We'll see you here tomorrow.
Voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, Mike McCabe will join us.
He's talking about kids playing in mud and adults playing with power.
What does it mean?
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
The John and Gordy Show.
Well, Bob Woodward, you know, ever since All the President's Men, along with Carl Bernstein, they basically blew the cover off of the Watergate scandal.
That's right, with Deep Throat.
And that's a great movie, by the way.
Deep Throat? I saw that.
No, I meant All the President's Men, but thank you for that.
All right. Brenda Lovelace was a great performer.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Southern California, a brush fire has erupted in the Pacific Palisades near L.A. Santa Ana winds fueling those flames and forcing evacuations. ABC's Alex Stone is in Glendale.
We're talking winds potentially of 100 miles an hour. That this is about as severe as the winds are we're ever going to see here in Southern California. This is about life safety right now. This is about getting engines in there, saving lives of those who have been trapped. We've been getting reports of people who are trapped in their homes and needing rescue and firefighters having to go in. There was even an LAPD officer who was trapped, surrounded by fire, and they had to send in a rescue helicopter to look for that LAPD officer.
Ceremonies honoring former President Jimmy Carter shifted from Atlanta to Washington, D.C. today. His casket